DW.
A rambunctious group of 14 to 18-year-olds armed with iPhones have assembled in the library of St. Patrick's High School in Ottawa. But all of those devices are being put away, along with earbuds, and the urge to take selfies? Gone. There's a more compelling distraction in the room. Jill Heinerth, cave diver, adventurer, storyteller of the Earth's deepest secrets, is in the room.
They would hear me okay. In the back? Yeah? All right. I'm going to share with you a little bit about my life as an explorer. My business card actually says explorer on it. I think that by the end of this presentation, I'll have convinced you that you guys are all explorers too.
Jill Heinerth, a world-renowned cave diver and the Royal Canadian Geographical Society's first explorer-in-residence, is on a land-based mission to open the eyes and minds of surface-dwelling youth to the planet's remote water worlds, how it relates to them, and how their very survival depends on water. Jill, also a renowned underwater filmmaker, gives a visual presentation to share stories from her diving missions around and into the globe, using some of her footage and that of colleagues. Jill's presentation is keeping this notoriously gadget-obsessed generation laser-focused on her and her extraordinary images. Eyes light up, jaws fall open while softly whispered, "Wows!" and "Amazing!" can be heard amid the complete hush of the room, except for Jill's enthusiastic storytelling and some of the dramatic soundtrack from her video clips.
My work takes me as far as Antarctica, as well as to places like in this swamp in the middle of North Florida. And this might not look all that appealing, but underneath this swamp is an absolutely magical world, and it's caves.
Underwater caves, a no-go area for most people, hold great fascination for Jill, who believes they have much to teach us.
Now, some of these places are small. It would be like crawling underneath the seats in this room, following a thin guideline and relying on life support for your next breath. But some places are enormous. You could put this room inside a cave. In fact, there are caves that I've been in that you could put this entire school inside of. They're huge. And the water that serves humanity and serves wildlife and serves industry on this planet runs through these spaces.
And Jill has encountered remarkable life forms which actually thrive in these remote, dark, watery environments.
Blind albino crayfish in the cave can live 200 years. So what can that teach us about evolution and survival? I don't even know yet, because we're only at the stage of describing these animals, finding them for the very first time.
And then there's Jill's favorite, the albino, eyeless, and venomous remipede.
We do know that they have not evolved since before the extinction of the dinosaurs. So how do we know that? Because we can find the identical animal in the fossil record more than 65 million years old. So that means the guy swimming in the jar has not evolved for at least 65 million years. So what can that teach us about evolution and survival?
She says that underwater caves, like one in Abaco in the Bahamas, share clues about climate behavior in the past.
This red material is from the Sahara Desert. So what's it doing in a cave on the opposite side of the Atlantic Ocean? It drifted across the Atlantic Ocean and then came down with rain to land on the surface of islands like Abaco. And in this cave, we can actually find that it's been dry during three separate dry epochs on planet Earth.
She also shared how her work with the National Oceanic and Atmosphere Administration revealed the Earth's climate change history during a dive in Bermuda, which she believes is the deepest human dive there.
But at 120 meters or so, we were finding a continuous shelf along the Bermuda wall. And what that shelf is a sign of former sea level. So that means that the ocean levels were 120 meters lower than they are today. So we're living at a very high time of ocean sea levels, and it's getting higher.
In 2000, Jill Heinerth and a team from National Geographic and the New England Aquarium set their sights on an iceberg which had broken away from the Ross Ice Shelf in Antarctica. At the time, it was the size of Jamaica and contained enough fresh water to supply America's needs for a year. The fact it was on the move, unpredictable and volatile, posed greater technological challenges to Jill and her colleagues. They were the first ever to swim inside an iceberg, as illustrated in this documentary. The students of St. Pat's are about to be treated to a real-life nature blockbuster.
Godzilla, the largest iceberg in history. New technology will get them further inside a floating giant than ever before. The question is, how will they get out?
Here's your spoiler alert. I got out.
She's still amazed by what she saw inside.
An entire garden of life was growing underneath the iceberg, and there were all kinds of life swimming within the conduits inside this iceberg. So it was alive. I mean, this was all new.
She hasn't gone diving into an iceberg since, but continues to explore under and around them, as she did during her Arctic on the Edge expedition in 2017, which she turned into a documentary. She found that for some of us on the surface, like Canada's Inuit, the threat of climate change is all too real and happening right now.
Every iceberg has a spirit. That I remember the ice being 8 to 10 foot thick, and the floor it used to be a lot further away.
Right underneath the bottom of the glacier, you can see the water flowing down. It's like river all winter.
There's no more food in the north because everything is warmer.
Elders say it's gonna happen, and nobody can stop it.
It makes me feel sad. We have to adapt to it too, because we can't change.
The Arctic is changing twice as fast as anywhere on the planet. The sea ice is their land. It just hurt my heart to see them having to deal with, to hear young men in their 20s say, it's not like it was when I was little.
Jill's work is inherently dangerous. Many things do and can go wrong, especially when you are in remote watery environments 2 miles inside the planet. She says that she has lost 100 colleagues. Fortunately for Jill, she's had some lucky escapes. She hadn't quite seen enough of the inside of an iceberg which had broken away from Godzilla. It was about a square mile in size, and she was getting ready to go back in.
We heard a holler on deck and thought, oh, it's time. And when we went running up on deck, the entire iceberg that we had just been inside of exploded.
But there's no dynamite involved here. This is a natural event. Jill's referring to what happens when an iceberg, particularly a big one, breaks up. When icebergs melt, water fills the crevices formed, eventually leading to chunks of iceberg, often weighing tons, to break off, and sometimes fly off. At the same time, large overhangs could be melting and crashing into the water. The breakup of icebergs, according to Derek Mueller, iceberg expert at Carleton University in Ottawa, can be quite the spectacle. A lot of sound energy, booms, splashes, definitely destructive, and he warns, super dangerous. But despite the dangers, Jill's presentation may have changed some lives today.
A lot of people do a lot of like water pollution and don't care about the environment. But like when we really saw a lot of creatures in underwater, so that really helped us.
So do you think you might be thinking a career as a diver or an explorer?
I saw a lot of nice views, nice creatures underwater, so that really inspired me a lot.
Do you swim?
No, I don't.
So you might have to learn swimming before.
Yeah,
are you inspired?
I'm practicing, actually.
Are you inspired to go and improve your swimming?
Yeah, I am.
I thought it was really cool because I got my diving license as well with my family.
And has it made you think more about our connection? We're here on the surface, but our connection to the underwater world of oceans and caves and icebergs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, because I think a lot about it because most of our Earth is made up of water, so it would be nice to understand, like, you know, how to use it to our advantage and to make sure it's preserved for other generations.
Which will be music to Jill's ears, as she believes better understanding our connection to water on our planet is vital to our survival.
So whatever we do on the surface of the Earth soaks into the ground, into our drinking water supplies. And these cave systems that I swim through come out of the ground in springs. They fill rivers and creeks. The oceans themselves are the very lungs of our planet. There's a lot at stake.
Shan Griffiths with Jill Heinerth at St. Patrick's High School in Ottawa.
DW